Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
A very good morning if you have just joined us. I don't know where you've been, but welcome anyway. We've been talking for the last week about this whole WhatsApp story. And as I've said to you, I've been meaning to and trying to get myself worked up. I was shocked because I thought WhatsApp was sharing all of my data anyway. I was very pleasantly surprised that they weren't. But now we need to finally understand this whole business. And we are chatting right now to General Manager of Data Privacy at Advanced Intellect, Brendan Ambrose. A very, very good morning to you. Please help us out here. First of all, what did you think of our song?
It was very high energy. I'm trying to match that coming in, and I just don't think it's possible. I'm really giving it all. That was intense.
It's very intense. Look, it's not for the faint of heart, and definitely if you've tried and you do have a faint of heart, well, then that's probably one of the last kazatskas you'll ever do. All right, so just tell us, take us through this whole WhatsApp thing. Can we please finally put this to bed?
Sure. So, Let's get a bit of context, right? So in 2014, WhatsApp was bought by Facebook. And now Facebook is a business. They're not here to help us or be nice to us. They're here to make money. They're also an American business, right? So they run on their societal norms, their contractual norms, their laws, which is really important, and I'll get to in a bit. So what WhatsApp did is they've slightly tweaked their terms of use. Now what that is almost your contract that you have with WhatsApp in order to use their platform, right? Mm. So they slightly tweak their terms of use to really allow for two things. It's to monetize certain of the data you share on WhatsApp and to better integrate WhatsApp into the Facebook ecosystem. Because up until now, they haven't done that. And I liked your point of you just assumed that they were sharing everything anyway. Mm. And you were pleasantly surprised that they weren't. And they haven't been, right? So I think the most important thing here is to clarify that Facebook don't share and can't access your messages. So your messages are private and secure and safe.
Right.
And I think from that point of view, it's important to understand the difference between security and privacy, right? Mm-hmm. Data security is the efficacy of the data when it's traveling and when it's on your device. So can anyone get unauthorized access to that? Can anyone amend that data without your consent or knowledge? That's data security. Data privacy is a slightly more nuanced matter in that it's generally a legal or philosophical term, and it's based on what country you're in, what your societal norms are. So, for instance, data privacy norms in China are very different to data privacy norms in, say, Belgium. They're completely different societies, and they put different things forward, and they get tested by society and approved or rejected by society, right?
Right.
In South Africa, we've got a fairly strict understanding of privacy, and we're quite particular about that. We like our privacy, and legally speaking, we've got this concept called a general acceptance of privacy, right? It's where we have a base level acceptance that what we do in our private lives will be kept that way. Now, the concerns that have been raised around WhatsApp's update to their policy are, there's been two ways people have looked at it. There's one from a legal point of view, and that's strictly just going through the terms and understanding what they are. And truth be told, legally, they're actually not unreasonable. What will be integrated into the Facebook ecosystem? So things like how much you're chatting to one person, what times you chat to them, how much time you spend on the app, what you use the app in conjunction with other apps. That sort of stuff will go through to Facebook and will be used to either target advertising towards you or, which is the new features that are coming, will allow businesses to connect directly to you through WhatsApp, which I think is pretty cool. I think that's
right.
An interesting
Absolutely.
Way to,
yes.
to
yes.
market. And
unless they send it to your wife, of course.
Yeah, well,
how
I
much
saw
time
a joke
you've
the other
been,
day that said,
been spending
the
on...
updates are...
Yeah.
The updates are you're chatting to your girlfriend and your wife gets adverts for divorce attorneys. And I thought that was really brilliant.
Absolutely.
But again, they can't access your messages technically.
Right.
And this is where it comes down to the concept of trust, right? Because they haven't updated the terms unreasonably. Doing makes sense in conjunction with their business and what you're using WhatsApp for. What the concern is, because I mean, that's not stopping people ditching the platform, right? So people are still looking at it and going, I'm not comfortable with this. I don't like what's been said. And even, and assuming it's not based on the misinformation that WhatsApp is sharing your messages, I was trying to figure out what the what the rationale for people moving away from WhatsApp was. And it sort of came down to almost a philosophical understanding of people are not happy with Facebook owning and managing and monetizing so much of their data. And now there's an argument that says, well, look, I've got a Facebook account anyway. Mm. I may as well just, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. And I think that makes people very, I mean, it makes me uncomfortable, right? To say, well, okay, well, now let's give you even more data.
Right.
And I think that's what's happened. I mean, there's been a great documentary called Social Dilemma, which is on Netflix. I think it's a bit sensationalist, but it does give a sense of the fact that Facebook is a data company. They're here to monetize data. And it's, there's that old saying of, if you're not paying for something, you are the product.
Right, absolutely.
And that is what Facebook are. And they're unashamedly that. And they should be, because that is their business. But that doesn't mean necessarily that us as consumers have to accept that and have to go, you know what, I'm actually okay with Facebook now having access to a greater amount of my personal data. And that's where privacy differs from security. Because in truth, there's nothing to say that WhatsApp is not a secure messenger. They've got standard security flaws, which they patch like every other piece of software, but they are secure. What might be the case is that they might not be entirely private to the extent that consumers in South Africa and around the world expect privacy.
I find that a little bit hypocritical of us, because to some extent we shout and scream that we want privacy, but I'm quite happy when some of my data, when enough data is shared that of mine, that when I go onto Amazon and I'm buying a book, that it's going to recommend other books to me because it's collected data from other people who bought that book and it's collected my data, and I'm seeing adverts sometimes that are appropriate. Yes, maybe sometimes they're a bit annoying, but my user experience is made a lot more pleasurable or easier because of data. And so we definitely have this ambiguity in our relationship with the information that we want shared.
Well, it's important to live in the real world, right? Social media has massive value and is a phenomenal, phenomenal platform. And I'm certainly the last person to advocate going to go live in a cabin in the woods, because I quite like my Spotify account, which collects huge amounts of data.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, I enjoy Instagram and I enjoy the Facebook products, right? I don't think it's hypocritical. I think it's people figuring out what our new social norm around data privacy is and what people are comfortable with and what people are uncomfortable with. And there'll be a give and take and there'll be an overcompensation and there'll be an undercompensation, which is what's been happening, right? So I think up until now, we've been so lax with sharing our data online and it's sort of come home. And now we're overcompensating, going, well, look, we now need to pull this back and have complete control and can't, you know, we can't let anyone handle
this data. Well, that horse has bolted, hasn't it?
Pardon me?
That horse has bolted.
Oh, well, yes and no. It's, my view is that you can still always claw back as much as you can.
Okay,
but it's not an easy process. But I find it very interesting that we're trying to figure out where we find the, well, how much importance we attach to data privacy. And part of it is having targeted advertising, which is genuinely very useful. I hear you. I mean, you read a book, you get recommended another book that's similar or that is smart. You know, the algorithm was smart enough to figure out, well, it's not similar, but we actually think you'll like this. I think that's excellent, right? There's an argument that says, so long as you've got control over that data and you can see what the companies are doing with that data, then that would sufficiently tick enough boxes to make people comfortable. The issue being is that because Facebook is an American company, they're operating under wholly different norms to South Africa. In fact, Facebook has completely different terms and conditions for WhatsApp for Europe, because Europe has quite robust privacy legislation and the latest updates can't be rolled out in Europe because they infringe or at least aren't aligned with the privacy
That's
legislation in Europe because they've taken a very considered approach to data privacy.
That's very interesting that it's different in different regions. How are South Africans' privacy laws?
So we've got a new piece of privacy legislation coming into effect in July this year called the Protection of Personal Information Act.
Right.
It's not in force yet. Privacy is dealt with in terms of Section 14 of our Constitution and dealt with in a sort of ancillary way by certain acts like the Promotion of Access to Information Act, the RECA Act. So we've currently got a bit of a fragmented privacy system in South Africa, which is getting fixed. by enacting the POPIA, which is the act I just mentioned now, but it's not anywhere near as developed and robust as, say, Europe, which is currently leading the pack in terms of data privacy legislation. Right. They've since 2018 had the General Data Protection Regulation, which is an incredibly robust piece of legislation, and that is why WhatsApp can't roll out these new terms in Europe, because they need to figure out how to go, okay, well, we need to monetize this platform. We need to get consumers access to businesses and businesses access to consumers, but we need to do it in line with this privacy legislation. And what will be interesting is, because when POPIA comes into effect in South Africa, POPIA and the GDPR are very similar. So how Facebook are rolling out an update now without, I mean, maybe they have considered the POPIA coming into effect and aren't phased by it, but how they're rolling it out now, where it would potentially put them in conflict with our local legislation, is very interesting. And I think it again comes back down to consumers' appetite for data privacy and utilization of their data.
Right. So Brenton, what is your advice? What is your advice to people in terms of, and I think it goes beyond WhatsApp. And for me, what's fascinating is I just think that this whole WhatsApp thing happened at a poor time for them, number one. Number two, I think their marketing of it was quite bad as well. I think they could have handled it a little bit better given who they are. They could have really communicated it much smarter. But to me, what it's about for me is that it's as though people have suddenly woken up and said, hold on a minute. Let's just think about this privacy thing. So my view is that it's probably less about WhatsApp and more it's about our own coming of age with regard to data and privacy. What's your thoughts on that?
I tend to agree with you there, and that's, I mean, there's that old saying of revolutions happen very slowly, then very fast. So it
bankruptcies as well, apparently.
I think anything rather negative on that stage. So it's about figuring out what you're comfortable with within the markets. And what's very interesting, and what a company that's taken quite a strong stance on data privacy is Apple. And my theory as to why WhatsApp launched this now is that they wanted to get all the bad news out in one go to consumers, because Apple recently implemented these things called privacy labels within their app store. So if you scroll down when you're downloading a new app on the Apple App Store, you'll see now that there's this little block that shows what information that app collects about you and to an extent what it does with it. And WhatsApp and obviously Facebook were incredibly vocal against this implementation. And Apple basically said, if you don't agree to it, we're just removing your app. WhatsApp were in a bit of a bind in that they couldn't do it. So the first thing I'd recommend is that when you're downloading a new app, or even with your current apps, just go into the App Store and have a look at what data your apps are collecting about you. And just be knowledgeable about it. Because from understanding what data of yours is out and what data of yours is being collected, you can start to make slightly more informed decisions about what you're comfortable with and what you're not.
So it's just really become a time for us to just get smarter, really.
Exactly. I hate the phrase sort of educating the consumer. A lot of clients want to, you know, educate the consumer on data privacy. And the truth is, if people do not want to be educated, they won't be. But the difference here is that this is deeply personal, because it is personal information, right? It's something that pertains directly to you. And now with the advances in technology around machine learning and AI and big data, the amount of data that can be processed and the amount of information that can be pulled on you is unbelievable. It's really, really spectacular. And it can obviously be used for really positive purposes, like creating a really, really fantastic Spotify playlist of mine, decoded my genome to figure out what music I liked.
100%.
Or it can be used in the back end to profile me as a consumer without my knowledge and try target me for things which might not be entirely appropriate, or the algorithm might have got it wrong. So there's many ways to look at it. And I was reading an article yesterday that was on a great blog called Stratechery, which was recommended to me by a friend. He was saying that we're at web 1.0 right now. We're still figuring this out. We've still got a long way to go to figure out the full interconnectedness, of our next 20, 30 years together. And this is part of it. This data privacy discussion is absolutely part of figuring out what Western society is comfortable with in sharing and in being out there, and who we're comfortable controlling it. Are we comfortable with a private company in America controlling it? Are we comfortable with our own government controlling it? Are we comfortable with no one controlling it and we have to be in complete control? These are all bigger societal questions which still need to be answered. And I mean, that's why I love this industry, is that it's really, even at it's still at a philosophical phase.
Absolutely.
It's not even at a narrowing right. down of laws and rights phase.
Absolutely. Really, really interesting conversation. It's 8:27. That's the General Manager of Data Privacy at Advanced Intellect, Brendan Ambrose. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. Really fantastic conversation. What did you think? 34519.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.